And open to Proverbs chapter 1. Read verses 8 through 19, Proverbs chapter 1. Let's pray together. Oh, great God, we thank you for your Spirit. And we desire to be taught. We desire to have a faithful preaching from your word, that it might maybe calm some fears or stir up some action, or certainly build up in us greater love for you and patience towards one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, and we will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. By now, we should be grasping the goodness of the boundaries that God sets from the very creation, where he set a place for the light and darkness, for the waters, where they would not overcome the earth, and that the earth had its place, and that the birds had the air, and the fish had the sea, and the rest of us creatures, we have the earth. That there are habitats established by God's wise boundaries. And then we saw, over the last couple weeks, the goodness of the law of God, that the boundaries he establishes, that we are to love God and God alone, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and how those laws break down, and how we see that in Christ we have a different perspective, that the law ceases to be just this drag and this drain and this poking and prodding and accusing and cursing thing, to where we see the beauty of what it means to have this God as our God. Why would we want any other God? We saw that the laws established for our love for one another are themselves attendant with God's blessing. And we use the illustration again of that lawn, that front lawn that was once full of those utility flags telling us not where not to dig. And when those flags are removed, the utilities remain where they are, but now we see the grass is green and there's a lot we can do there. But there are other boundaries that are set and to be set. And it's the boundaries that are set by parents for their children. They are boundaries that really only the parents can set. So this morning we're going to see that parents set boundaries for the good of their children. So understand, where we're going is to see that these boundaries are good. And children, like adults, don't always see the goodness of boundaries, but it helps for parents to know that God has seen the goodness of His boundaries, and it might help us in seeing the goodness of them as we bring them to bear in the life of children. So first, parents are responsible for setting boundaries by applying God's word to their children. There's a basic responsibility that comes to the parent to train up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It comes upon parents to do that. The church may help. Parents of parents may help, but it is the responsibility of the parents themselves. They are to teach their children about creation and redemption. Now, we are talking particularly about Christian parents whose children are said by God Himself to be important in His sight and to be in covenant with Him. So there's a way we can approach the goodness of the boundaries that we set in keeping with the fact that our children are themselves covenant children. Now, there is an overlap between parents' responsibility and church responsibility. That is, parents teach their children the Word of God, but the church teaches children the Word of God. That the teaching and preaching ministry of the church falls upon the consciences even of its children. So it is not that I am the pastor of those who are old enough, who have made profession of their faith, and not the pastor of the children, that the elders have a responsibility only over those who have made profession of faith and not a responsibility in some way to the children of believers. We understand that. We teach about creation. We teach about redemption. We teach the gospel and the law that makes the gospel so sweet, because we fly to the gospel when we truly understand the law. But parents have responsibility that reaches beyond that of the church. They train and develop their children's decision-making process and shape the conscience of children in matters beyond even what the church does. There are things that parents can demand of their children that an elder and a pastor and a deacon cannot. It is a level of government that is in their children's lives that has a particular responsibility that doesn't carry over from the church. All ministry of the church, all the teaching of the church is ministerial and declarative of the Word of God. There are things, and we're all familiar with things going on in the newspapers about a particular family that was heralded as a model family, and I'm not saying bringing any critique upon that family. I am saying it is not the church's responsibility to teach that all of your children, your girls must be in dresses down to the ankles, and your sons must wear ties and collared shirts, and they must be homeschooled. We're not a church that the God's word doesn't say the church is to preach you ought to homeschool your kids or undergo the discipline of the church. So, but there are things that devolve upon the parents to choose how they will educate their children. Loving God and loving neighbor within the context of one family and another may look different. Some families may train up their children by doing a lot of volunteer work. So one family says, okay, the church doesn't tell me I have to take you to Salvation Army to pack food sandwiches for the homeless, but we're going to do that because I'm trying to teach you love for neighbor. And a parent may make that decision. Another parent may not make that decision. They may make a different decision. We're going to teach you how to serve in the church. So this is, you're going to help with the cleaning, you're going to do chores at home, we're going to do things, we're going to teach you that. And likely it's a mix of all these things, but parents may have different boundaries for their children in different ways because they're the parents. The parents have a great deal of freedom within God's word and setting the boundaries for their children. A freedom that cannot be imposed upon by the church and should not be imposed upon by the state. Now, boundaries in some families may seem more intense, more, you can say, strict. Other families, their boundaries may look different. They may not, they may appear to others to be loose. Their decisions made by the parents in setting the boundaries in the lives of the children. But there are two proverbs that set general boundaries around this idea of parents setting boundaries. Whoever spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Right, whom the father loves, he disciplines. So we know that it does come upon parents to exercise some setting of boundaries accompanied by some discipline to enforce the boundaries. That is something that the church can say is a responsibility of parents. The second one is this. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Or as we read in Colossians, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So we can say on one side, yes, parents are supposed to build those boundaries and exercise discipline, but then coming alongside of that to make it fruitful or to aid it is to say, look, a joyful heart is good medicine. That how we do the deciding on the boundaries, how we exercise discipline concerning them, where we build them, how wide they are, how high they are, there must be room for an understanding that in the life of our children, a joyful heart is good medicine and a crushed spirit will dry up their bones. And we shouldn't provoke our kids to anger. So grace and mercy. There's the necessity of boundaries with discipline and the necessity of some grace and mercy. Age appropriate. So we're just going to look at a few of the boundaries that parents set. Parents set boundaries for the company kept. And that's what we looked at in Proverbs 1, 8 and following. You and I know there are people at work, maybe in your extended families, that are really test our faith. Some of them, because maybe they know us, because they're family and they knew the way we were, perhaps before we were Christians, or knew the way we were before we were convinced of what it meant to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who want to inspire us to continue to be that and not what you have become in Christ. And those are keeping that company, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, maybe traveling on vacation and getting together with a family makes it very, very difficult for even adults to be able to keep certain company and not be tempted or discouraged. Children need boundaries for the company they keep for similar reason. We see Proverbs, hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. If sinners entice you, do not consent. So there's a certain company, Solomon is saying, that you ought not keep. There's a certain kind of person, even we could say, I forbid you to keep company with. They're the kind of person that will take you into their crimes, that will take you under their wing and show you a life that is dishonoring to God, breaking of His commandments, and that will carry you along headlong. Well, it takes away the life of its possessors. Their feet run to evil, and they want you to do it. You and I know that, and kids are different. That's why it's the parents' responsibility. That there are some children who will be swept away by a false friend leading them down a bad road easier than another child who will just say, that's foolishness. The author of Hebrews is setting a line, setting a boundary. Don't run off with that kind of person. And perhaps you as parents have had from time to time, you say, you cannot go and play with them. You cannot go over to their house. You cannot go and stay with them overnight. You cannot do this. And is it easy for the children to take? No, it's not easy for them to take. That's why it's the parents who have to set the boundaries. You can't walk with them. Children are young, asserting their consciences against those who want them to violate it. With the pain of losing friendships, with the pain of seeming uncool, with the pain of feeling like I will just be alone for the rest of my life because my parents said I can't play with them. Whoever walks with the wise, a parent can tell their child, becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So I'm building a boundary. And the parents can specify where those boundaries are. The church can't. Well, the parents may draw this boundary such that it's not wide and broad and tall, but it's a little bit narrow. You say, okay, if they come and play in our yard, then they can come and play. But you may not go into their house and play. Parent may decide that. It's setting a boundary. It's a cautionary thing. But it's saying, but if they're here and I can oversee what's going on as your parent, then we can do that. See the liberty a parent has? Children, like adults, wrestle with boundaries and need the Holy Spirit. Right? They need the Holy Spirit to help them see the good in them. And Proverbs 13:20 gives it. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. There's good to those boundaries that parents set. At least there ought to be. Now, before you and I know, before the internet, some of us, I think most of us remember a time without the internet. When it was kids in the neighborhood, or at least kids close enough where you could get to them by bicycle, were the ones you had to kind of think about. What company you kept was face-to-face, and maybe there's a phone call, but generally you'd gather together on Saturday morning to play ball or whatever it is, and it would be locally. And now you understand, parents, the great danger that company may be kept via the internet. And they may never be known or seen by you. And maybe never truly known by your children, it makes it much, much harder. There are those who understand the technical aspects of this and how to block things and do all that, and I hope y'all are looking into those things. But you may draw the wall. The parent may decide, this is the wall. There's no internet in the house. And that is a wall that the parents legitimately may build. Or they may say, there is, but you will be sitting by my side, and we have this program on that will block certain things. You won't be able to hang out with anyone you want to hang out with. Now, when we look at this, parents building boundaries about the company their children keep, there is always an ongoing anecdotal debate. They kept their kids from this kind of people, and their kids grew up and they went to college and they fell apart because they were homeschooled and they weren't socialized. And then there's the other one that says, well, the anecdotal evidence, you know, they let their child go to this school or that school, and we know what happened there, so you have to not socialize them so much. And parents are like, whoa, anecdotes are just that, they're anecdotes. Raising children is not a science. That's why we find it in wisdom proverbs. There's wisdom to it, and it requires wisdom. But be wary of those who have written books and said, if you do this, you're guaranteed that everything will work out fine. Parents must set boundaries. Not the person writing the book. Not a person on television. Parents must set those boundaries. So parents then also must set boundaries for places to go. Some places are not safe, we know, physically for our children to go. Running out and playing on the interstate, playing on Broad Street, is not a safe place to be. It's not like a cul-de-sac or a dead end that you may have lived on, where kids could just run outside and people kind of generally knew. You turn onto that street, you keep a watch out for the kids. Turn to Proverbs 5. Verse 7. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. So, Dad's warning, said, look, you know that street? And you know, you're getting to be a young man, and you're wrestling with these feelings, and you know she's there, and you know when she goes outside, she's dressed scantily. And you might say, well, I'm just going, you know, because so-and-so has done their flower boxes so beautifully, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm just going to look at the trees and the flowers, and I'm not even going to notice the young woman dressed scantily laying outside and sunning herself in the front yard. You might say, listen, it's not a place you need to go. You don't need to go to those places. You and I both know that trouble waits for you, that temptation waits for you. Spiritual temptation, fleshly temptation. There's enough temptation that comes in the everyday life of a child that bringing them or allowing them to go to certain places where you know they're going to be confronted with it and tempted beyond their ability is not wise. And it's up to parents to discern where that is and how it comes into their lives of their children. It used to be, again, they'd have to get on a bike. They'd have to actually go somewhere. They'd have to go down that street where that woman lives. Or they'd have to go down that street where that guy lives. Or they'd have to go down there, and then they'd have to actually physically be present to be tempted in the ways that that place tends to tempt people. Again, not anymore. You can go anywhere online, even unintentionally. You can find kids can find places to go that their parents wonder how they ever got there. Sometimes it's the company they keep that tell them how to get there. Sometimes they just know and they've discovered it themselves. They have a knack for it. Parents, it is okay to set boundaries for where your children go. Not just for the sake of the company kept, but for the sake of what the temptations that might await them, the things they may see and cannot unsee, they may hear, they cannot unhear, the things you as parents either know or suspect might be a danger to them. And parents might have different suspicions, hence it's for the parents to make those decisions, to set those boundaries. Understanding the Lord's Prayer can certainly give us some aid here. We pray, lead us not into temptation. And if we pray that, we shouldn't hunt out the places where temptation lies. And if we pray that, we should not allow our children to go to those places where the temptation lies. We want them delivered from temptation as we want ourselves delivered from temptation. So don't seek it out. And parents have a responsibility for guarding their children that way. Some parents will say, again, there'll be no computers in the house, no TV in the house. And others will say, yes, but there are certain times and we will watch only what we say we can watch and the remote control will not be given. Do you see the freedom? It's freedom with parents can use in deciding those. And the church doesn't come on a visitation and say, if you have a TV in your home, you will not be able to have the Lord's Supper until you have it removed. That's beyond the church's role. Sometimes our kids have to be told, don't go there. Well, then lastly, parents set boundaries for their children's commitments. Proverbs 6. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. So you say, son, you've made a commitment to take on the debts of someone. And you have no idea what you have done. And you have made a commitment. And my counsel is to you, don't make those commitments. In fact, go to your neighbor and ask to be relieved of the commitment you have made. Why, stewardship certainly comes into this. Stewardship of finances, setting boundaries about what they can spend. Some parents may give an allowance. Some, based upon particular sorts of chores, may give some money to be handled a certain way by their children. But parents do have a responsibility for teaching their children wise stewardship by not making financial commitments that in the end, because they're really not sure the value of a dollar and they're really not sure how this works. They just see something they want and you're trying to help them. You may let them make a mistake in one thing to teach them a lesson, but another thing you say, no, we're not buying that. I'm not letting you spend your money on that. Parents also teach their children not to make commitments that they cannot fulfill. Children are wide-eyed and open to a world where there's so much to do. I want to be in baseball. I want to be in soccer. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want all these things that they want to do. And you can find yourself chasing the young dreams of a child to be in every athletic competition and find yourself with no time really as a family. So much that they want to do. Even, let's take it out of the sports, even things they want to help. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to help them. And it's all laudable. But as parents, we know that our children cannot possibly fulfill all their commitments. And so we have to guide them and set boundaries for those commitments. to know their limitations under God, know their limitations of time, their limitations of energy, perhaps even limitations of health, that they cannot possibly do all that. And parents have to set those boundaries. So setting boundaries, necessary part of a parent's job. But you understand, just as we don't always see the green of God's commandments, that children don't always see the liberty and freedom and the boundaries their parents set. They don't see the freedom when the parents say you can't go there, or the parents say you can't hang out with them, or your parents say you cannot do that. And they see flags. They see the yard full of things to where the kids feel like they're always tiptoeing. And though, as parents, you know there's a lot of liberty here. There's a lot for the kids to do. There's a lot they can commit to. There's a lot of kids they can get to know and grow with. There's a lot of places they can go and see. There's so much, but the focus is on those flags. So three things to keep in mind in setting boundaries as parents. The goal of all established boundaries is the glory of God. It's always been God's glory at the forefront of His commandments, God's glory at the forefront of creation. It's all about God's glory. When we as parents make our image the goal of the boundaries, well, they become stumbling blocks. When we tell our children, you can't go there, because what will you don't tell them this, but they know this is what you're thinking, because I'd be embarrassed. And you can't hang out with that person, because how's that going to make me look? Or we can't commit to that, because I just don't have the time. The very goals of parents and loving their children can become temptations to break those boundaries. Even though the kids don't necessarily understand what it means that it's for the glory of God and for their good, it's still for the glory of God. Second, I think this is even more, they're all important, but I think this one sits on me. Boundaries without accompanying joy and blessing can feel like prison walls. What we've seen from Psalm 119 concerning the law of God, what we looked at in the Ten Commandments, trying to understand the joy of living within those boundaries. If by setting boundaries, we are not also teaching our children to enjoy the freedom within them, accompanying them, helping to make those commitments, helping them to fulfill those commitments, making sure they have friends that they can play with and that are good friends to be with, making sure there are places they can go and there are things they can do, and they're not, life is not set up in a room doing nothing because we're afraid of everything, then our children will become hardened. If we are learning, as we ought to learn, that the boundaries that God establishes by His law are pleasant and there's liberty in them, we ought to help our children to understand that the boundaries we set are for their good. They may still be talking about that person they can't hang out with, but so long as you are providing all these other things, all these relationships and friends that they can have, you're providing for them some understanding that there's joy and there is liberty within the boundaries. There is good to be had where the walls are, within where the walls are built. Finally, some boundaries change as children grow. As children are developing their decision-making, as their conscience is developed, as parents see them grow and realize they're mature and may be able to handle these things, they may be able to go to one place that they couldn't go before or hang out with this person or at least be at school with them and talking with them and having a relationship with them because you know that they've gotten to a place where they know who they are in Christ and it develops and it grows. So those boundaries may change. A boundary set for a toddler are not the same boundary set for a preteen or a teen. Because they are getting to know that the Lord alone is Lord of the conscience. And as parents, we are slowly showing them how the Lord God is to be the Lord of their conscience. Boundaries are good. When parents know that God's boundaries are good for them, then they instill that same knowledge in their children. But we've got to love the law of God. If we groan, if we decry all that God has taught us in His Word about how we are to live for Him, love Him, and love our neighbor, and then tell our children, but you can't go there, and they think, well, I hate this. Because you've shown me that boundaries are to be hated. They're to be despised. But when you know it, that God's boundaries are good, they may not catch it early, but over time, they may very well see that the boundaries you have set themselves are good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the mercy you show us in Christ. For you know the imperfection of parents. You know that you alone are the perfect Heavenly Father. And we wrestle, and sometimes we do not add joy within the bounds of the boundaries we set, and sometimes it's because we haven't understood properly the joy of your commandments and the freedom and liberty found in them. Help us, O Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to be wise, to establish those boundaries, to not break our children's hearts by making them such that they are in any way a matter of groaning, a matter of provoking. Lord, there's a lot of growth that we as parents need and a lot of maturity. Help us to grow and mature, and help us both to be disciplining and being careful not to break the spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.